Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we will continue our study from our previous broadcast where we talked about the children of Israel asked a prophet among them to appoint them a king. And obviously we know that story was taken from the first book of Samuel. That is when Prophet Samuel had appointed Saul for the children of Israel. Remember that in the Quran, Muhammad did not mention the name of the prophet. Also, he gives the wrong name for the king. He called him Talut instead of Shaul, which is Saul. And in the Quran, after Prophet Samuel appoints Saul, we know that the children of Israel rejected him because he was not a rich man from a rich family, and they also saw that they are more worthy for the kingdom than him, which makes us wonder if Saul was not a Jew. Obviously, we know from the Bible that the entirety of the children of Israel shouted, "Long live the king," and only a small group of rebels who refused to give gifts to King Saul after being appointed by Prophet Samuel. We'll continue today with the following verse, which is verse 248. For there, Allah in the Quran gave the children of Israel a sign to prove to them that Saul was the right king. And that is when we read, "And their prophet said to them, surely the sign of his kingdom will be that the tabut," which is a non-Arabic word, which is the word ark from Egyptian origin, "will come to you. In it is tranquility from your Lord and the relics left by the family of Moses and the family of Aaron. The angels will carry it. Surely in this is a sign to you if you were believers." From reading the verse, we can see that Muhammad, Allah in the Quran, did not have a clue about the Ark of the Covenant. There are plenty of errors here, but quickly let me share with you the four important major errors. The first error is that the Ark of the Covenant, according to the word of Allah in the Quran, was carried by the angels. But we do not read anywhere in the Bible that the Ark of the Covenant was carried by any angels. But it used to be carried by four men on their shoulders by two rods which used to go through the rings in the four corners. We read in the Bible in one location that when the Philistines returned the Ark of the Covenant, they actually set it up on cart, which were pulled by cattle. But no angel whatsoever have carried the Ark of the Covenant. And the sign for King Saul that he was appointed by God had nothing to do with the return of the Ark of the Covenant. But the sign was, after Prophet Samuel anointed him with oil, that the Spirit of God came on him and his appearance changed, and then he had victory against the Ammonites. The second error we read about the Quran, the statement that in the ark there is Sakina. And obviously that was the wrong word. For the Hebrew word is Shekhniya, not Sakina, which means the spirit, which is taken from the word Shekhuna, which means the dwelling of the spirit. And the Jewish people use that phrase to point that God dwells among them in the Ark of the Covenant, between the two angels and the covering of the Ark of the Covenant, which is an evidence for the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. As for the third error in that one verse, which Muhammad stated in the Quran, that inside the Ark of the Covenant was the relics of the family of Moses and the family of Aaron, which make us believe that this was a huge ark, when in reality, nothing was inside the Ark of the Covenant except the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. As for the fourth and the last error, Muhammad could not come up with the name for the prophet. As I mentioned earlier, it was Prophet Samuel who anointed King Saul. It is in Muhammad's nature that he will not give the details of any story. And when he gave information, they're always wrong. Wrong time and wrong place. Now let's move on in our study to verse 249. And there we read, so when Talut, that is the wrong name, he meant Shaul or King Saul, marched forth with his junud, another non-Arabic word, which means troops, which comes from Iranian Aramaic origin. So now we see King Saul marching with his troops, and notice what comes next. He said, surely Allah will test you by a river. So whoever drinks of it, so is not of me. But he who does not taste it, so surely he is of me. Except who scoops a scoop by his hand, so they drink from it, except a few of them. So when they had passed it, he and those who believed with him, they said, we have no strength this day with Jalut. That's another non-Arabic word, which he obviously meant Goliath, which comes from Hebrew origin. And his troops, those among them who thought that they would meet Allah, said, how many a small group have victory over a large group by Allah's permission, and Allah is with the patient. Obviously, here we see complete confusion, chaos in the Quran. Don't forget that. We're talking about the miracle of Muhammad. The only evidence Muslims have to tell the world that their Muhammad is a true prophet. What do we have here? We have confusion between two separate biblical stories. Because we're talking about King Saul and we talked about Gideon. The story of the killing of Goliath by David took place during the life of King Saul. That was at the beginning. We read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 17. As for the story of Gideon and the 300 men who fought with him, the Midianites, that was obviously in the book of Judges 200 years before David or King Saul. And that is what we read in the book of Judges chapter 7. Somehow, Muhammad mixed together Gideon and Saul and David as if they were one story took place in the same time. What a huge error in the Quran. Now let us read what Muslim scholars or interpreters said about Quran chapter 2 and verse 249. So they said, those who scoop by their hand were 310 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 other men. They did not know exactly how many they were. When they came to the river, they became so thirsty, so all of them drank from it, except that small number, 300 plus. All those who drank from the river by their hands, as they gave drink to their animals, they became so strong, and their faith became so powerful, and that's how they were able to cross the river peaceably. As for those who drink from the river and disobey the command of Allah, their lips became black, and they became so thirsty, so they could not see, and they became so scared, and they did not cross the river. And also Muslim scholar said, and it was said, and once again, when you hear the interpretation of the Quran by so-called Muslim scholars, and they will give you a statement, and they give you a different statement, and then another statement, that is a great evidence that these people are not scholars at all. They're some fabricator trying to make different opinions that one of them will be right. Therefore, they are scholars. Because here we read, they said that all of them crossed the river. But those who drank from the river, they did not fight the war. Only the 300 plus are the ones who engaged in war with King Talut. They meant King Saul. Obviously, we know for a fact that King Saul did not take his army by the river, and he did not test him. And believe me, my friend, when you read that which is written in that verse, you can't help but to laugh. Why? Because Saul is telling his soldiers, Allah is testing you by the river, and those who will drink are not of me, and those who will drink except a little bit, they will be of me. So he's not doing the test. For when we read in the book of Judges, chapter 7, we see that God asked Gideon to test the people by watching them, how they will drink. Will they drink like animals, licking by their tongue, or they will drink by scooping water in their hand? And God told Gideon which one to put aside to take with him to fight, and which one he will put aside not to go to war. Before that, actually, he announced, anyone who's afraid, leave. That's not what we read in the Quran.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Gideon is not Saul, and Saul is not Gideon. Gideon was a judge. Saul is a king. The test of drinking from the river was given to Gideon, not to Saul. And he did not tell the people what is coming as we see it and we read it ridiculously in the verse of the Quran. That is Quran chapter 2 and verse 249. The killing of the Midianites was 200 years before King Saul. When Judge Gideon fought the Midianites, he had with him 32,000 men. And God said to Gideon that he will not allow this to happen, because if they have victory, they will be bragging about their own victory, and God will not receive the honor and the glory. Therefore, God told Gideon, announce to the people, those who are afraid can leave. And on that announcement, 22,000 left Gideon. Now Gideon was left with only 10,000 men. But the Lord told Gideon, the number is still large. So take them by the river and watch. Everyone who will drink water by his tongue, as dogs will do, set him aside. And all those who will kneel by the river and scoop water by their hands, set them aside. And the number of those who drink like a dog with their tongue were 300 men. But the rest of the people kneeled by the river and they drank the water. So the Lord said to Gideon, only by these 300 men I will deliver you, and I will give the Midianite to your hand. And God gave Gideon a great victory. Once again, you can read that in the book of Judges, chapter 7. Notice that Muslim scholars got the story backwards. Not only did they confuse King Saul with Gideon, but they actually told us that those who drink by their hand are the ones whom Allah has chosen to bring victory to King Saul. When in reality, those are the ones who were rejected by God in the book of Judges, chapter 7. As for King Saul, he did not take any men by the river to test them. By the way, that is the opposite of how Muhammad fought all his wars. The more soldiers he had, the greater the victory he received. Not like in the Bible, for the Bible declared it is God's battle and he will win it with the smallest number, and he always won it in one day, which is called the Day of the Lord. As for Gideon and his people, they did not fight Goliath, but obviously the story of Goliath, which we'll read about in 1 Samuel chapter 17, was between Israel and the Philistines during the kingdom of King Saul. As for how Goliath was killed, we know that it was David, the young shepherd, who picked up 5 rocks and a sling, and he put one of these rocks in the sling, and he swung it, and he hit Goliath in his forehead. He fell down, and he cut off Goliath's head by his own sword, for David did not have a sword. And you can read that in 1 Samuel chapter 17. What huge errors we read in one verse in the Quran. Let's move on to Quran chapter 2 and verse 258, which is another made-up story by Muhammad in the Quran. For there Allah states the following: Have you not seen him who dispute with Abraham about his Lord, that Allah has given him the kingdom? When Abraham said, My Lord is he who gives life and causes death, he said, I give life and cause death. Abraham said, So surely Allah brings the sun from the east, so bring it from the west. So the infidel was confounded, and Allah will not guide the unjust people. Notice the order of the writing of the verses of the Quran. It is more chaos. Why is that? Because first we're talking about some prophet who appointed a king, which obviously is the story of Prophet Samuel appointed King Saul as king over Israel. So then he went from Saul to Gideon, who existed 200 years before Saul. Then now he moved to Abraham, who lived 700 years or so earlier. I'm amazed about the chaos of the writing of the Quran. But do we have any truth about this conversation which took place between Abraham and some king? Once again, we know Abraham, but we do not know who is that infidel king which Abraham was talking to. But here is what all Muslim scholars agree, that Abraham was disputing with King Nimrod, son of Canaan, the mighty one. And that dispute was about the arrogance and tyranny of that king. Mujahid, the great Muslim scholar, said, On the earth on that day, there were 4 kings, 2 believers and 2 infidels. As for the 2 believers, so they were King Solomon, son of David, and Zulkarnain, that is Alexander the Great, which we'll be talking about him later when we do our commentary on Quran chapter 18. As for the 2 infidel kings, so they were Nimrod, that is the king we're talking about here in Quran chapter 2 verse 258, and Bakhtasar, he meant King Nebuchadnezzar. Total confused, total chaos. I have no idea where Muslim scholars come up with this information and these names. For we all know Alexander the Great was not a godly king in any way, shape, or form. The scholars of Islam continue to say, after Abraham broke down all the idols, King Nimrod put him in prison. Then he brought him out that he may burn him. So he said to him, Who is your Lord who you call on? He said, My Lord is the one who gave life and cause death. That is what we just read in Quran chapter 2 and verse 258. It was also said that during that time, people will go to King Nimrod and ask for food, and he will give them food. And every time the poor people ask for food, he always asked them, Who is your Lord? So they would say, You are our Lord. Then he gave them the food. But when it came to Abraham, and the king Nimrod asked him, Who is your Lord? He said, My Lord is the one who gives life and causes death. King Nimrod answered him by saying, And I give life and causes death. And that is when he gave an order for one man to be killed and another man to be set free. And that is how he proved to Abraham that he causes death and gives life. Then Abraham challenged King Nimrod by telling him, Well, here is the fact. My Lord brings the sun from the east, bring it from the West if you are able. And that is when King Nimrod was astonished. So he sent them away without any food. And on the way, as Abraham was going back to his family, he filled his bag with some sand. And when he got home, somehow miraculously, his family found out that the bag was filled with food. Obviously, this is a made-up story by so-called Muslim scholars. Not because I said so, because the reality, the verse of the Quran did not say anything about these details and these information. And that is my problem with so-called Muslim scholars. They always fabricate stories to help the Muslim readers to understand the Quran. When we read the Torah, we will find that Abraham was the friend of God, and he is the father of the believers, and God had chosen him. The Bible never said that he was thrown to the fire, and the Bible never said that Abraham performed that miracle by changing sand or dirt to food inside his bag. Add to that, King Nimrod was not during the life of Abraham. But anyone who reads the book of Genesis will learn that between Nimrod and Abraham were roughly around 300 years. My friends, this is the reality of the word of Allah in the Quran. It is fairy tales mixed with confusion, and God help Muslims because they depend so much on their so-called scholars who simply fabricate information to help them to understand the Quran. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.